This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
Yes, we're back after our traditional summer break. Didn't last very long, and we've been working really hard. Our football preview is out. It's up on the site right now. You can go check it out. We've got a ton of, you know, great information about teams, a real, you know, in-depth look at every squad in the area, and tremendous set of photos from our man John Barry, highlighting five kids that we just think are going to be tremendous. Obviously, Brandon Smith's going to be a heck of a ball player again. And then you got Rick Weaver at Covenant, Marquan Jones at Almar, you've got Chris Washington at Orange, and then you've got my man Will Stupolsky at Fork Union, the Swiss Army knife, who plays everything for the Blue Devils. So really excited about having that done and out there, and we encourage you to go read it, read about your favorite team, read about some of these other squads, really learn what's going on. And we're not going to repeat what's in that preview, you know, in this podcast, but we want to give you a little bit different insight into some trends, some things we think are going to be a big part of, you know, what's going on. And to me, that's got to start with linebackers this year. Just a tremendous wave of linebackers.
Yeah, last year it was the quarterbacks and running backs. There's just so many returning starters there. And this year, I mean, what a sort of wave of graduation we had to deal with there.
Mm-hmm.
And linebackers, that's the one, like, sort of really nice area for especially the Jefferson District schools, where they're returning starters and stuff there that matter. I mean, Smith's obviously at the top of that list. When you have a Penn State commit like that, that's a pretty big deal. But just sort of working around, you look at some of these teams. I think on that same team, maybe Austin Sims is somebody to keep a watch on.
Austin Sims is,
very...
We all know how good he is. Like, this is a guy who maybe doesn't get talked about as much, but everyone knows how good Austin Sims is.
Yeah, I mean, and that was a team that got to do a lot of developmental stuff because of the poundings that they were putting on people.
Throwing up 72 points every week, pretty good way to develop that young depth.
Yeah, and, you know, you have a group of seniors that have been starters for 3 years, so they've had time to sort of build up this JV program, and this they knew this day was coming. Sims was... Really, he mattered in the playoffs. He made a difference for them, so that'll be fun. But jumping around, I mean, some of these teams, Sam Brooks over at Goochland, maybe one of the best linebackers that we have coming back.
Brooks is a freak, man. He can play.
Yeah, and he's sort of overcoming some injury issues and still managing to train off season-wise and get bigger and stronger. It's a 3-year starter for them. On a defense that was just nasty last year. Absolutely. He and Mayfield might have been the best 1-2 punch at linebacker that we saw last year. That was pretty awesome to watch them. But then going around, we got Devin Smith, Aiden Saunders, Eric Taylor, Logan Bowers, Rick Weaver, Kyrie Carter.
Yeah, Kyrie Carter's an interesting one out at Orange. He's coming off of a knee injury. He seems like he's a very promising kid at tight end and linebacker. Aiden Saunders is just a rock, a classic high school middle linebacker is how one of the coaches put it out there. He is very heady. He gets to the ball. He flows downhill. Aiden Saunders can really play. And then you got, you know, Devin Smith at Fluvanna. He seems like he's going to be a big part of what they're trying to do defensively. A lot of changes that they're making on that side of the ball. And then you got, you know, if Rick Weaver ends up playing linebacker, no matter where they use Rick Weaver, Rick Weaver is going to be an impactful player.
Yeah.
And, you know, we know they're going to use him at running back, and he's a heck of a ball player. But, you know, I mean, there are a lot of guys who can really play at that spot this year. And some of that, you know, maybe a lot of them were there last year too. Maybe got overlooked because of how good the skill guys were on offense. But we got a pack of linebackers this year that can really play. And Eric Taylor's another big one at Almar. Had over 100 tackles last year. He pairs with John Barber there in the middle. That gives them a great sort of core to build around. Big fan of how Eric Taylor plays as well. You know, as good as Saunders at getting downhill and kind of making plays. So when you got that kind of middle linebacker that allows you to do a lot other things defensively, maybe take some more risks on the edge.
Yeah, I mean, some other names to throw in there, Walter Edwards over at Buckingham, that's going to matter. And then thinking of sort of the flip side of that coin, like, what do we do about sort of like Monticello, Garrett Porterfield? That was like a kid that made a huge impact at linebacker that we didn't certainly, like, that wasn't projected that he was going to be one of the best in the area. He sort of made that for himself. You really got to give him credit there. Who are those kids going to be this year? Because we always seem to stumble into them. Some senior linebacker who just puts together an amazing year.
Joe Whalen had a heck of a year, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, went from, like, the premier running back to sort of, I play defense now.
I play a lot of defense.
I also run for, 1,000 yards, but...
Yeah. Joe Whalen is the only guy who can make 1,000 yards look like the light work that he's doing. He's one of the only guys who's that good. So it's exciting. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. I think Kyrie Carter at Orange is one of those guys who could have a breakout year. And that would help them in a big way, I think, because, Orange, we know they've been able to score points. We know they've been able to put the ball in the air, do some things. Defensively, sometimes they've had some letdowns. And if they can get a guy like Kyrie Carter that is a consistent tackler, these kind of guys are really crucial because they help, plays that could be 40 yards only be like 7 or 8.
Yep.
And like that is kind of underrated work that those linebackers do. And Porterfield was a great example of that. He had a ton of tackles in the backfield, but a lot of what he did like 5 or 6 yards downfield preventing big plays is a big part of what we're doing. Western has talked a lot about that this year they've got to not have 40-yard runs, they've got to be like 8 or 9-yard runs. Mm-hmm. And if you can slow down the big play, I think that goes a long way towards giving you a defense that can come up with some stops.
Yeah, I mean, look at the potential like maybe a Monroe has there from being greatly improved when you bring back a Caden Pritchett and a Zach Miller and stuff at that position, linebacker. That could be a huge difference for them.
So linebackers for sure. And then, the other big trend is not – a loaded position. It's a position that is going to get a complete overhaul locally. Essentially, only five teams in the area of the 17 that we cover have returning starting quarterbacks at this point. And that is a massive sea change from last year, where we had a ton of returning starters at that spot.
And the entire Jefferson district.
The whole JD.
They took all their quarterbacks.
All the quarterbacks are gone. They're all gone. And now they're new guys that are stepping into those roles. They're guys that we didn't know as much about. Sometimes they're guys that are shifting over from different positions. We got a lot to learn about these guys, but the five guys that are back are some pretty good quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, last year he was your breakout player of the year for you. Devin McCray at Goochland, maybe at sort of the top of the list. And Xavier Cain over at Blue Ridge, that's a really good one to be coming back. But at Monroe, Alex Kinsey. Gary Toney at Buckingham, Elijah Lewis at Madison. Those are the five.
Wow. Yeah. Five quarterbacks. And that's, it's tough because you look at Kinsey, you look at Elijah Lewis. Those are teams that didn't have huge production. I will say that there's Bryce Wilson at Nelson, but he may end up not playing quarterback. He may end up out on the wing. So they could be looking at a new guy in George Brown. And, but when you're really thinking about it, like that isn't it? There's not that many guys. And Tony's coming off of an injury out there at Buckingham. He's a little bit banged up last year. Alex Kinsey showed a lot of development.
He's
a good player.
About him this year, yeah.
Cain and McCray are definitely two guys that I would love to have back if I was, Lewis is a guy who's very athletic and tough. So you got to like the guys who come back. But then there's a ton of guys that are going to be learning the spot, whether it's Carter Shiflett at Western or whether it's maybe Malachi Fields over there at Monticello.
That'd be a good one there.
DeQuandre Taylor is probably the only guy that has like a lot, like, or any real starting experience at all. He started one game last year, got him a win against Mountain View. So DeQuandre Taylor at Almar, and he played so many different spots looking for, and that's what we've seen. Goochland's done a great job of that over the years, where there's all the way back to Jordan Jefferson, where they're using him in a lot of different ways when they had Reed Chenault right there at the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see where these guys end up playing in spots and what kind of, what pieces of the puzzle fall into place for these teams. Which takes us to a tradition that we've established on this preseason football podcast, trying to figure out who can make that deep run in the playoffs. Very difficult to do this time of year. Don't hold us to any of this, but I think we can start with one team that we know for sure is going to be in that mix.
Yeah, I mean, Goochland, every year that we've covered them, they've made a playoff run. So you stick with that. new coach and Alex Fruth, but it just doesn't look all that different. We saw them against Monticello in the scrimmage. That team's going to be very steady. Mm-hmm. They're not changing much on offense. Fruth is sort of installing his version of what he'd like to see from the wing tee and then some other little wrinkles there. But defensively, this team has the potential to be very good. It just got enough guys coming back. And then the feeder system that they have from middle school to JV up to this varsity program is just so steady. So I assume, the James River district champions sort of perennially can find a way to get it done and play into November, as we've seen them do every year. And then we got a couple others to keep an eye on. A team that maybe is a little upset about not winning the state title last year over in Blue Ridge.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, Blue Ridge, it looked like was a lock to win again. And then and not only that, they, in the semifinals, they rallied. They kind of got things under control. It seemed like they were doing a series, kind of a wild series of mistakes led to them losing that ball game. And if they get through that one, they probably are celebrating a second straight state title. And they bring back some key pieces. They lose Sammy Fort to transfer, but they bring in Prophecy Kissamore, who it looks like is going to be a heck of a ball player coming out of East Rock. He's going to help them on both sides of the ball. Isis Lewis is a good-looking athlete who can play a lot of different spots. Could potentially, I think he backed up at quarterback, back Kane up at quarterback last year. Will play a lot as a running back, probably a good pass-catching option. He's just a versatile kid. And then they have Kane back. Miles Hamm up front to kind of anchor things. I feel pretty good about them being able to compete at that Division II level. I think that they've got enough of the pieces. If they can develop the young guys they got, because their numbers are pretty darn good, if they can develop those young guys that they've got, Blue Ridge could be looking at a nice little run there.
Yeah, and that's sort of one of the underarching themes, at least in the private schools, is, who's going to have players on the field?
Yeah.
With the eight-man squads, we've seen a lot of transferring going around, too, of different players. It's going to be fascinating to see which of these private school teams can piece together sort of the traditional runs that we've seen in the past. It's just going to be much more difficult to do. And if you have a Xavier Kane, somebody that matters that much at that position, I feel like that puts sort of ahead of the eight ball on that one.
Oh, yeah. I think Kane is just a massive advantage. And when you talk about the eight-man game, there's going to be two teams there. They have an all-in playoff system over in the eight-man game. And Covenant is just loaded with talent. When we talked about Rick Weaver earlier, you got Nick Sanker, you got Jonas Sanker. You got some guys who can really play for Covenant. They could be potentially looking at a really deep run in that eight-man game. We'll kind of learn a lot more of that as the year goes on. But, when you flip over, like you said, Goochland coming out of James River, they got to feel pretty good about things. Buckingham, I think that region sets up okay. If Buckingham can kind of get in gear, they could be looking at seven or eight wins, and then they could be talking about a deep run.
Yeah, and that was a team that finished on a four-win run at 5-5, doesn't make the playoffs. When we had other teams that were finishing 3-7 and 2-8 that were making the playoffs in other regions, just kind of how things shaked out with the realignment, sort of certain teams trying to dodge certain regions. Buckingham brings back so much from last year, and new coach over there in Seth Wilkerson, but he's not that new because he's been on that staff before for a long time. Craig Gill disciple. That team's very excited about sort of getting back to its roots. And that was one of the more sort of perennial playoff teams that we had. It was always Goochland and them were sort of the two best of the Class 2 schools that we had. There's no reason, talent-wise, with Gary Tony and stuff, that Buckingham can't go on a big run through the James River District. I think those are two of the best teams, maybe Nottoway figures in there, maybe Central, Lunenburg a little bit. That'll be a team definitely to keep an eye on. If you finish on a four-game winning streak and you bring back the vast majority of your team, you're in a pretty good spot.
I think you got to feel good. When you flip over to the JD, trying to figure out this playoff race for the JD, I don't have a lot of answers right now.
Yeah, I mean, it just got gutted. Mm-hmm. The whole thing, everybody's sort of in the same spot, regardless of where you finished last year.
A quick list of guys that are not playing that were first-teamer type guys. Tony Thurston at Louisa, Malik Bell at Louisa, Joe Whalen at Louisa, Raekwon Jones at Louisa. That's just the Lions.
Yeah.
All right? Then you flip over, and by the way, Devin McGee Jackson, we didn't even list him, but he's in there too. Then Monticello, Kevin Jarrell, Jarek Ayers. Austin Haverstrom. That's Monticello. Albemarle, Jaquan Anderson, Jaquel Johnson. You know, guys who are really, really important players. Nile Arnold, Chris Anderson, guys who have been perennially good players. Albemarle, they're absolutely trying to revamp things. You know,
over at Charlottesville, you got Sam Neill, Trey Durrett. I mean, there's a lot there.
That was a good group.
Yeah.
I mean, and then their line, you know, Trajan, they had Larry Henderson. They had all these guys up front, gone. And then you look at Western, Derek Domek, Robert Sims, gone. Those guys, Darren Klein, gone. All those guys kind of wiped out. Orange,
their entire receiving core.
Right? A lot of the receiving core. Chris Washington is really one of the few guys left. William Luterol was a pretty darn good defensive end for them. They got to revamp a lot of different things.
But they got Jalen.
Hey, they got Jalen Alexander. So that's a pretty good place to start. But then, you know, even Fluvanna, you know, lost a lot, you know, a number of key players. They do bring back Prophet Harris, who's a pretty darn good one. But yeah, the JD in general got knocked really hard by graduation, a true struggle that they'll kind of undergo. And so it's hard to have a lot of answers about what's going to happen in the Jefferson District. But if we had to pick three teams, number one, you got to start with that Louisa squad. They have Brandon Smith. That is enough to really put them in this conversation as is.
Yeah, and I think just sort of the preparation building up to this point, all the snaps that was sort of handed down to second teamers last year, that's really going to factor in, and just the tradition of football. Will Patrick, he's been there for a long time. He's a guy who understands, you know, the JV kids, the varsity kids. He's known them for a long time. And it's not that big of a shakeup for him to be sort of running the show instead of Mark Fisher.
Yeah.
I think that sort of continuity there is really going to matter. And more so than anything, just I don't know that there's a school that cares more about football.
Yeah.
Goochland and Louisa are the sort of the two public schools that we have where that is just a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so much made investment-wise, energy, time spent, sort of bringing these kids up and getting them ready at the varsity level that you sort of don't see all that much of a drop-off even when the sort of big wave happens. But, I mean, we're still going to talk about a dramatic change there. I mean, going 14-1 for this team is going to be a real challenge.
Yeah, I'd say it's...
We saw how difficult the start of that playoff run was.
Yeah.
I mean, just... Region 4D was brutal.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question it's tough. It's no question it sets up and it's going to be a challenge for them. The other team that keeps running into really, really tough early opponents in the playoffs is Charlottesville. They played Salem last year. That's about as difficult as it gets. It's also in the Class 4. Salem ended up being the team that beat Louisa. So Charlottesville... You know, if some more breaks go their way, they've got to kind of navigate this very tough out-of-district schedule that they play there. I've been calling it like the city-on-city tour where they play Harrisonburg, they play EC Glass, they play James Monroe, they play all these schools that are very much city schools that take a lot of pride, and those games end up being a lot of fun. But there's no question that they're challenging teams, and when you're playing that kind of difficult schedule and then jumping into the JD, you've got your work cut out for you. So hopefully for Charlottesville, things go well through this first stretch. They can kind of get things going.
I mean, I don't know that a team brings back a more productive member of its offense than Charlottesville with Sabias Foley. I mean,
it's Sabias or it's Jalen Alexander.
Yeah.
Those are the two, I think, in the JD.
So that's going to be fun to watch, especially if, I mean, I know he sort of nicked up a little bit last year. If we can get sort of sophomore version of Sabias, the rest of the JD has got a problem on its hands.
They got a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, CHS, and then Albemarle is one that's kind of interesting, because if Albemarle kind of brings things together, if they coalesce about a guy that we're going to talk about in a second, Albemarle, I feel like, has the potential to be a squad that could get over that hump. They've been really working hard, and, you know, Harrisonburg tripped them up last year, but... Potentially, you know, Albemarle could be looking at a favorable, you know, early round, and they could, you know, or you know, and then maybe they get on a run. They certainly have the defensive pieces to make this work.
Yeah, and that was a team that was gutted last year, especially defensively, after a great 2016 run.
Yeah.
So that's another team that sort of had time to sort of figure things out and find younger kids to put in these key positions. I mean, Nile Arnold and Jaquan Anderson mattered a lot to that team. Chris Anderson. Yeah, they mattered a lot. But we look at we sort of underlooked all the development that went on last year. And that was the team that sort of started off rough and put things together at the end and was able to get back into the playoffs. So I think certainly a team to keep a watch on. And numbers-wise, I don't know that there's too many other schools that have had the numbers coming out the way that Albemarle has. So that makes a huge difference, too, just in terms of depth.
Yeah. So I like Albemarle. I think that Albemarle has the potential to go pretty good, play pretty well this year. That Louisa-Albemarle game, that Albemarle-Charlottesville game way down the road, those are going to be fun matchups. So that brings us to breakout players, and that's related to Albemarle because a guy that I think has the chance to be a household name by the end of this year, got to be Mekhi Washington over there at Albemarle. A great, you know, great physical running back. He's kind of a one cut and go guy. He's got all the speed that you're looking for. Just has all the physical attributes that you want from a running back. He got a chance to see it from the other side as a linebacker last year. He's just a really good defender, and I think that Mekhi could be the kind of player that changes some things, that really gets Albemarle on a run. I think he's got the potential to be one of the area's best.
Yeah, and we've seen just how much sort of quarterback matters at Albemarle, just offensively what that team tries to do. I think, you know, Jaquan Anderson, those last 2 years, last year they've tried to play him at running back a little bit and then sort of slid back into a quarterback position. That's a program that when they figure it out right at quarterback, it makes a huge difference.
So if Jaquandre Taylor settles in, then and Jaquandre becomes Jaquan Anderson to Mekhi's Jamal Thompson, who we know how important Jamal was because we saw the difference between 2 years ago and last year. If he becomes that kind of runner, if he becomes that kind of guy who can, you know, just pick up tough yards, who can grind it out, who can move the sticks, I think that Albemarle's got a chance to be really darn good. The other guy that comes up as a potential breakout player, a guy who could have a really huge year, I think it's hard to argue with the Woodbury quarterback out there in Ben Locklear. Locklear replaces a solid lineage here from Lindell Stone, from Hunter Etheridge to Lindell Stone to
Will Weidman. Yeah.
Will Weidman, who had a heck of a year last year. So now they bring in a big, tall, hard-throwing right-hander in Ben Locklear.
Yeah, and one with weapons, and I think that's the key there. It's easy to develop a quarterback, that's got a great physical skill set if he's got the right options around him. When you have Kyle Bilodeau, who's heading to Purdue, just a massive tight end. It's really just an offensive tackle. It's really athletic running routes. When you have him, and then DeKeese Carter was insane last year. Just catching bomb after bomb after bomb. I mean, that is a sort of
dirty, dirty fast. I think the term that we go way back, there's a couple of coaches have used the term greasy fast. Yeah. Guys that just slip past you. Carter is one of those kids who moves different than a lot of kids. You know, and I think it's going to be exciting to see him for another year after just a hugely productive season last year.
Yeah, with Reese Logan and Kalenga Muganda sort of as the new running backs back there, taking over for Jameel Wilson, they're really excited about that group. So you've got a running game, you've got a receiving core, a lot of that offensive line is back. That's a pretty good scenario for a young quarterback to be walking into. And we've just seen, I mean, Scott Braswell made some small changes last year but did not tweak a lot. We'll see how much they change this year. He fit in really nicely as the guy running that show last year. And it'll be now that he's had one full sort of year off-season training-wise and just really sort of getting to know Woodbury as it is, what he does with Ben Locklear is going to be really fun to watch. That's a team that, I mean, we're finally sort of removed from that senior class 2 years ago that was just so big. There were some connections last year that sort of it felt like an extension of that team. That's gone. This is sort of a new era for Woodbury.
Locklear stepped in last year in relief of Weidman, threw it over the top for a touchdown on his first varsity pass. Pretty good start. Yeah. And now he's getting a chance to run the whole thing. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what he's able to do. He's a very talented kid. So want to really thank you for listening. This wraps up our sort of preseason pie. We're jumping right into it. We already have one team's already played a game. Stab Faith Christian. It's already in the books. We've got a whole slate of games coming up on Friday. And really appreciate you listening. We're excited to be back for another year. And we're going to really dive into it in a big way next week.